from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast via shortwave on 9525 kHz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying. Hello, my listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the news.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with the news. First, the headlines. Presiden Joko Widodo wants to improve economic cooperation with India to enhance ease of doing business, Trade Ministry to simplify import rules. The news in detail. On the sidelines of the ASEAN-India Summit, President Joko Widodo had a bilateral meeting with Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi in New Delhi, India on Thursday. In the meeting, President Joko Widodo conveyed the importance of efforts to improve economic cooperation. He assessed that the bilateral trade between the two countries has actually begun to grow since last year, but still far from the real potential. President Joko Widodo hopes to enhance trade, including eliminating trade barriers. President Joko Widodo also pointed out that the increase in import duty rates to palm oil export to India is high enough. The increase in the price of palm oil will affect Indonesia's exports. He asserted that if Indonesia's palm oil exports are reduced, surely it will also affect the fulfillment of India's growing market needs. Thus, he strongly expects the Indian government to reconsider tariff policy on vegetable oil. The Ministry of Trade shall simplify the regulation and supervision of the import trade system. Director General of Foreign Trade Oke Nurwan said the simplification aims to improve the ease of doing business. After the socialization of regulatory simplification and monitoring of import in the border event held in Jakarta on Thursday, Oke also explained that there are 5,200 imported items prohibited or limited from the total of 10,000 goods. So far, goods prohibited and restricted imports called LARTAS have been supervised by customs in the border areas. The custom controls the completeness of LARTAS import permit documents, which are publicized by various ministries. Now, through the new policy, about 2,200 kinds of LARTAS are no longer being examined at the customs. The LARTAS will be supervised by the Ministry of Trade and other ministries, or called the post border.
Nah, dampaknya ini adalah arus barang akan menjadi lebih lancar.
The impact that the flow of goods will become smoother because we aim to smoothen the flow of this stuff so that the number of the ease of doing business is lower and the rank rises. Oke further explained, the items are still checked in the both border, including per products, toys, horticultural products, ceramics, and so forth. Goods related to safety health will be held under surveillance in the border of the customs. With the new policy, the importers only need to make an online based on declaration letter that the product document is complete. Accordingly, the customs no longer supervises the completeness of the LARTAS document. Indonesian Ministry of Trade requires exporters and importers to use ships owned by Indonesian national shipping companies in their trading activities. Director General of Foreign Trade at the Ministry of Trade, Oke Nurwan, said that Indonesia has not optimally maximized the potential in the field of shipping and trade insurance services. He explained in Jakarta on Thursday that the use of national ships for the movement of domestic goods has been only 95%. However, for international shipping, the number is still very small. Therefore, the government requires exporters and importers to use national shipping through regulation of the Minister of Trade on terms of use of sea transport and national insurance for export and import of certain goods. He also said that the policy is part of the 15th package of economic policy.
Karena kalau nggak kita turun tangan, nggak ada trigger. Nah, dengan Permendag 82.
Because there is no trigger if we do not intervene. Well, with the 82nd ministerial regulation, we have a mandatory trigger. Well, later we will arrange the exceptions. Oka further explained that so far exporters and importers have been in favor to use foreign shipping companies, since they are easier in terms of bureaucracy. Thus, the government will invite national shipping companies, insurance companies, and exporters and importers to meet and discuss the issues. In the first phase, Oka targets export coal and crude palm oil or CPO is obliged to use national shipping services, and then other commodities will follow. This policy will take effect from May 1, 2018. This news broadcast is coming your way from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The Financial Services Authority, OJK, confirmed that virtual currency, including Bitcoin, is not a valid payment instrument in Indonesia. The provision has been valid since the beginning of the year. OJK Chairman of the Board of Commissioner Wimbo Santoso said in Jakarta on Thursday, January the 25th, that the legitimate means of payment in Indonesia is the currency rupiah. He stated that cryptocurrency is already banned. His statement responded to the launch of the investment products in the form of cryptocurrency by Aladdin Capital. The currency is reported to have a guarantee in the HSBC and has grown rapidly in several countries, especially in Vietnam. The prohibition of virtual currency, including Bitcoin, by the authorities must be obeyed by the financial services sector. Wimbo asserted that OJK is the authority that supervises and gives permission for the investment product, so that any financial services institution that launches investment products must report to the institution. National flag carrier PT Garuda Indonesia has said that it has decided to reschedule the delivery of 25 new planes that were initially expected this year to 2020, as the company is now focusing on internal consolidation to improve financial performance. Director of Garuda Finance and Risk Management, Helmi Satriono, during a press conference in Jakarta on Thursday, said that the postponement gives Garuda time to consolidate and improve performance because it has to ensure that delivery of the new planes will increase the company's revenue. Helmi also said that Garuda had coordinated with the aircraft manufacturers Boeing and Airbus about the postponement. They agreed to postpone delivering the planes from this year to the next 2 or 3 years. Minister of Trade Enggartia Stolokita stated that Indonesia successfully won a biodiesel dispute with the European Union. The final result of the WTO dispute council panel ruling won 6 Indonesian lawsuits against the European Union. This was disclosed by Minister Enggartia Stolokita from Islamabad, Pakistan on Friday, January the 26th. This is a form of landslide victory for Indonesia, which certainly opens wide market access and respurt the performance of biodiesel exports to the European Union for Indonesian producers who previously had experienced the lethargy due to the imposition of anti-dumping duties on the product. The European Union imposed anti-dumping duties on Indonesia's biodiesel products since 2013, with a dumping margin of 8.8% to 23.3%. Since then, Indonesia's biodiesel export to the European Union have declined. Based on the data from the Central Bureau of Statistics, from 2013 until 2016, Indonesia's biodiesel export to the European Union fell from $649 million in 2013 to $150 million in 2016. Indonesia's victory over the dispute gives hope to Indonesian biodiesel exporters and producers. Last item. Indonesian badminton double Della Destiara Haris Rizky Amelia Pradipta for the second time defeated 2017 Chinese World Champion Chen Qingchen and Jia Yifan. Della and Rizky toppled the Chinese women's doubles giant in the second round of Indonesia Master 2018 at Istora Gelora Bung Karno, Jakarta on Thursday, with the score of 21-15, 21-11. This is the second win for the Indonesian double after the Denmark Open Super Series premiere in 2017. Meanwhile, the pair of Grecia Polii Apriani Rahayu also follows Rizky Della into the quarterfinals after defeating their junior Agata Emanuela Siti Fardila Silva Ramadanti with the score 21-11, 21-16. To end the news, here are the main points once again. President Joko Widodo wants to improve economic cooperation with India to enhance ease of doing business, trade ministry to simplify import rules. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijayakasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Commentary. Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. The title of today's commentary is India Cooperates with Southeast Asia. In Davos, Switzerland, the world's annual economic meeting, WEF, was taking place, while in the other hemispheres, in Tokyo, Japan, Minister of 11 member countries of Trans-Pacific Partnership, TPP, met to continue the multilateral organization without the U.S. Yet, WEF has not lost its influence. On Tuesday, January 23rd, Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi at the WEF in Davos, Switzerland, stated that the luster of globalization has now dimmed. The barrier is the protectionist attitude of some countries. Although not addressing the named, this statement is apparently aimed at United States. Since Trump comes to power, the United States has demonstrated a protective stance in trade, such as by abandoning the deal of the TPP. In the same forum last year, when Trump was to enter the White House, China's President Xi Jinping had already expressed his views on the free trade. Not wanting to lag behind China, this year Prime Minister Modi wants India to be an example of free trade by opening the door for investment. President Donald Trump is scheduled to attend the forum. As one of the fastest-growing countries in the BRICS group, Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, India feels it lagging behind China and seeking to build partnership with Southeast Asian countries. Upon returning from Davos on Tuesday, in fact, Prime Minister Modi has other agenda in a bid to further strengthen cooperation with Southeast Asian countries. He invites 10 ASEAN countries to celebrate the Republic of India Day, which falls on Friday, 26 January. Despite having cultural influence in almost all of ASEAN countries and implementing the at-ease policy, India's trade value with ASEAN only reached $470 million in 2016-2017. The amount is only 1/6 of China's ASEAN trade value. India is trying to approach ASEAN because China has approached and been accepted in Southeast Asia. By building infrastructure and energy in Pakistan and Sri Lanka, but some Southeast Asian countries in dispute with China are expecting a greater role of India in the region. For Indonesia, the intention of India that does not want to lose influence in Southeast Asia and ASEAN is a natural thing. As a country with active and free foreign policy, Indonesia welcomes the intention and attends the Republic of India Day celebration with a delegation led by President Joko Widodo. But of course, Indonesia does not want to wobble with any interests or influences of other countries, including India and China. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with Today in History.
a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. We start from an event, India becomes Republic on January 26, 1950. On August 15, 1947, India proclaimed its independence from British colonial rule. After passing through various internal conflicts, finally in 1949, the Constitution of India was successfully compiled, and on January 26, 1950, it was born the Republic of India. Dr. Rajendra Prasad was elected as the first president of India, and he served the position for 7 years. January 26 was designated as a national holiday and celebrated as the Day of Republic of India. On January 26, 1952, is celebrated as the World Customs Day. The date of January 26 is commemorated by all world customs institutions because on that day, the World Customs Organization was established. In Indonesia, the institution commemorating the Customs Day is the Directorate General of Customs and Excise under the auspices of the Ministry of Finance. The establishment of World Customs Organization, WCO, on January 26, 1952, is an important milestone in the history of the world customs. Before the WCO was established, customs laws was considered to hamper interstate trade as it was inconsistent with other countries, too burdensome to trade, and to absence of special standard in trade. For this reason, then it was formed trade agreements, both bilateral and group, such as European Union, which then extends to the whole world, then formed the World Customs Organization, WCO. Now we present the last event of the ring solar eclipse, which occurred on January 26, 2009. On January 29, 2009, Indonesian people were dedicated the world phenomenon of the ring solar eclipse. Only Indonesia can witness and observe the natural event. The ring eclipse or GMC occurred because the moon disk does not completely close the solar disk, only above 92%. Therefore, when the peak of the eclipse, the sun looks like a ring that emits light in the sky. The middle of the sun covered by the moon, so it looks dark. At the peak of the total solar eclipse, GMT, the entire solar disk is completely covered by the moon disk. As a result, the bright atmosphere will turn dark for some time. Some cities in Indonesia could saw the ring solar eclipse that occurred on January 26, 2009, were among others Tanjung Karang, Lampung, Serang, Banten, Tanjung Pandan, Belitung, Ketapang, West Kalimantan, Puruk Chau, Central Kalimantan, and Samarinda, East Kalimantan. Listener, that was Today in History.
Indonesia in Economy, International Politics, Sports, Environment, and Pancasila. Only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
Welcome to My Indonesia. Today, we'll invite you to talk about Indonesian government regulates import toys into Indonesia. The Indonesian government implements new rules for imported toys that are allowed to enter into Indonesia. Aircraft passengers are allowed to carry imported toys with maximum of 5 pieces per person in their luggage. No need to use the Indonesian standard SNI label. Meanwhile, the imported toys sent by the delivery service, only 3 pieces for one recipient for 30 days, also no need to use CNI label. The new provision on imported toys was agreed by the Ministry of Industry, the Ministry of Trade, the Directorate General of Customs, and the National Standardization Agency. Director General of Small and Medium Industry, IKM, of the Industry Ministry, Gati Wibawaningsi, as released by Republika in Jakarta on Tuesday, January 23, said the policy is expected to prevent unqualified imported goods coming into the Indonesian domestic market. She also said the low-quality imported goods will distort the market since the price is also lower. Although giving flexibility of regulation on imported toys, Gati said the government still requires domestic toy manufacturers to apply the requirements that must be met to get the Indonesian Standard Product Usage Certificate. She also added, the Standard Product Certificate is a requirement that should be met to get product license before being widely sold in the market. Through SNI, the government tried to protect consumers from hazardous commodities. The government also wants to prevent the circulation of non-qualified goods in the domestic market, especially those are connected with health, security, and the preservation of environmental function. One of the products that needs to be guaranteed is toys, since most of users are kids. The Indonesian government wants to protect children from negative impact of hazardous chemicals. In addition, Gati added that the regulation to get SNI label is aimed to fulfill people's expectation and to get accountable services by prioritizing justice and healthy business competition. Meanwhile, head of the Standard Implementation System Center of National Standardization Agency, Wahyu Purbowasito, confirmed the new rules do not apply to adult toys. He also explained the imported toys for above 14 years old with more than specified number exempted from the obligation to use the SNI label. That was My Indonesia.
You are still with Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Time now to bring you news in brief. On the sidelines of the ASEAN-India Summit, President Joko Widodo held a bilateral meeting with Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi in New Delhi, India on Thursday. The Ministry of Trade shall simplify the regulation and supervision of the import trade system. Indonesian Ministry of Trade requires exporters and importers to use ships owned by Indonesian national shipping companies in their trading activities. The Financial Services Authority, OJK, confirmed that virtual currency, including Bitcoin, is not a valid payment instrument in Indonesia. National flag carrier PT Garuda Indonesia has said that it has decided to reschedule the delivery of 25 new planes that were initially expected this year to 2020, as the company is now focusing on internal consolidation to improve financial performance. Minister of Trade Enggar Tias Tolukita stated that Indonesia successfully won a biodiesel dispute with the European Union. Indonesian badminton double Della Destiara Haris Rizky Amelia Pradipta for the second time defeated the 2017 China's world champion Chen King Chen and Jia Yifan. In the Indonesia Masters 2018 at Istora Gelora Bung Karno, Jakarta. That was the end of News in Brief over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome to the regular Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will invite you to visit North Sulawesi Province. Stay tuned. Manado is the capital of North Sulawesi Province. It is located in Manado Bay and surrounded by mountains. In recent years, tourism activities in Manado grew rapidly and became one of the leading sectors of Manado's economy. Speaking about tourism, ecotourism is Manado's biggest attraction. In addition to Bunaken National Park, there are other interesting attractions in Manado, including Lake Tondano, Gunung Tumpa Forest Park, Mount Lokon, and Lembeh Island. Today's edition of Indonesian Wonder will introduce you the beauty of Gunung Tumpa Raya Forest Park. Gunung Tumpa Raya Forest Park, or Tahura, is a protected forest conservation area located in Tongkaina Village, Bunaken Sub-District. To reach the object, you have to take about an hour from downtown Manado to Bunaken through Bailang Tongkaina Highway, by using land transportation. The distance is about 12 kilometers, and once arriving at the location to enter the forest area, you are required to report first to the guard post, then write the name in the guest book. The forest park is located in Tongkaina Hills, has 215 hectares area with an altitude of 700 meters above sea level. The forest area consists of a protected forest with hilly terrain and flat and sloping areas. There are many growing bushes, shrubs and coconut trees. Animals such as snake and soa-soa, wild pigs, monkey tarsius spectrum, and various species of birds also inhabit the forest. Walking in the great forest, the scenic beauty of conservation forest and fresh air can be enjoyed. In addition, you can also enjoy the sunrise, full moon, sunset, observing the flora and fauna, hiking and trekking, as well as paragliding. In the area of Gunung Tumpa Forest Park, there is also H.V. Warang Park. Warang, who was the fifth governor of North Sulawesi from 1967 to 1978, and also the third mayor of Manado from January 31, 1975 to August 23, 1975 term. Inside the park, there is a statue of H.V. Warang and a wall painting depicting H.V. Warang's struggle. Passing the H.V. Warang Park, there are several buildings prepared by the government with a vast view of the Sulawesi Sea with a very beautiful islands. Gunung Tumpa Forest Park itself is equipped with food stalls, toilets, and parking lots. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Gunung Tumpah Forest Park. Tomorrow we will meet again with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with Miscellany, a special segment featuring various aspects of Indonesia, including arts, culture, technology, environment, and lifestyle. The topic of today's edition is Warjak, Warung Tegal Innovation. Stay tuned. Listener, Warung Tegal, commonly called as Warteg, is one of type of gastronomic business that provides food and beverage at affordable prices. The menu is diverse, with a taste of home cooking, and the price is so cheap, making this food stall is visited by a lot of people. Warteg business is also promising culinary business. No wonder, as time goes by, food stall, which also known as Warung Tegal or Warteg, is increasingly growing like mushroom. So Warteg is able to survive, Warteg entrepreneurs must prepare everything since early in the morning. At 2 o'clock a.m., they do shopping, and after buying a lot of food ingredients, they cook with many kinds of menus. In addition, the taste of each menu to be served should be delicious, and the quality of the taste and cleanliness must be guaranteed. Seeing this, Martin Kau, one of the founders of the Warung Jakarta, alias Warjak, offers the concept of a franchise. Through Warjak, restaurant entrepreneurs are not burdened with busy shopping and cooking because they are provided ready meals from a centralized kitchen. Listener, Warjak was established in February 2017, directly implementing a partnership system. According to Martin, the difference between Warjak and Warteg is from the menu offered that is more hygienic and diverse. The Warjak offers the partnership package with a capital of 5.5 million rupiah. The investment includes complete food delivery equipment such as storefronts, tables, and two long benches, plates, and spoons. All of the preparations of the storefront and its content, the various ready-to-eat foods, are provided by Warjak. So the members are only to sell and know that everything is settled for preparation. But the partners have to prepare the location, including employees. Warjak partners can make a minimum order at 250,000 rupiah and free to choose 62 menus provided by Warjak. Martin explained that at least the main menu that must be ordered is omelette, tempe orek, and vegetables. To order these dishes, the partners can make it at 2 o'clock p.m. or one day before the food is prepared. Listener, center, each Warjak store offers style-heavy food menus with prices ranging from 9,000 rupiah to 13,000 rupiah per serving. From that sale, partners can benefit 50 to 60% of the purchase price. Based on calculation, partners are expected to sell 60 to 65 serving per day. Some locations of warteg pickup points are scattered in several areas in Jabodetabek, such as Kemayoran, Kalimalang, Sudirman, Cengkareng, Bintaro Sector 1, and Tbc Matupang. Listener, that was Miscellany Today with the topic Warjak, Warung Tegal Innovation. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of Radio World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back to the regular segment, Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern. In today's edition, we will present Indonesian regional songs from Jambi. Listener, let's listen to the song entitled Batang Hari. Listener, that's the song Batang Hari sung by Susi. The lyric of the song tells about the Batang Hari River, the longest river in Sumatra, which becomes a famous tourist attraction in Jambi province. Batang Hari is described as a river that looks calm, though it is actually swift. Batang Hari song also mentions some places traversed by the Batang Hari River, such as Penyaguan and Tango Rajo. The uniqueness of the Batang Hari song is the lyrics in the form of poem from the beginning to the end. Jambi region's mainstay song is also impressive that Jambi is a country of poem. Well, listener, the next song from Jambi that we will present to you is Rengkayo Hitam. Rengkayo Hitam is a powerful and courageous king who lived in the days of the Jambi Malay Kingdom under the rule of Mataram Kingdom. One day, Rengkayo Hitam thwarted a tribute delivery from his brother to the Mataram Kingdom. The Mataram Kingdom also planned to attack and told the master to make a dagger called keris. This keris was taken by Rengkayo Hitam and named Siginjai. The legend of Rengkayo Hitam's bravery and magic power was also referred in the song Rengkayo Hitam. Listener, here is Rengkayo Hitam sung by Ikke Nurjanah.
Ibunya dari pagar ruyung
next song we will present is Gadis Rimbo Bujang. The song Gadis Rimbo Bujang comes from Tebos Sub-District and was composed by Lukman Sa'i. This song is often sung in a duet because it is a song about a young man who is interested in a girl from Rimbo Bujang. The initial lyric of the song Gadis Rimbo Bujang is sung by men because it tells a young man's attraction to the girl. Meanwhile, the ref of the song Gadis Rimbo Bujang is sung by woman who tells that the girl is also likes the young man. Another song from Jambi that we will present is Ketimun Bungkuk. The song composed by Yahya AB tells about the story of someone who always fared badly. The person is deprived not only materially but also being insulted. But at the end of the lyrics of the song, Ketimun Bungkuk, there is a message that the wheel of life continues to spin. After bad luck, surely good fortune will come soon. Well, listener, to conclude our segment for today, let's listen to the last two songs by Nana Sabrina. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, happy listening and sampai jumpa.
Voice of Indonesia. Today's sound.
Rangkaio hitam
gagah perkasa, namonyo agung di mano-mano, sampai Mataram orang ngenali. Usahkan pulo di batang hari.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Stay tuned on 9525 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.